Welcome, everyone, to the DL Debate. Falsha Gatinya Gucci and DL Debate. They miss a Brendan O'Davna and shot a bit of burning heart there to get the blood going on the Monday night. It is, of course, a championship show here on the DL Debate. In the background here, we're just trying to get the technicals going as we're getting Maureen O'Donnell on the show. Joe Dex is beavering away beside me. I want to thank Michaela, as ever, for the news. And, of course, the legendary Ivan Borland for the Power Hour Plus. He keeps the tunes going. Joe's giving me a thumbs up there. We have Mo sorted. Mo will be on the show shortly. Coming up after Mo, we're going to speak with the dynamic duo that is Oney McGarvey and John Gilday to look across all the championship action from the weekend. And what a lot of talking points there was. Another phenomenal weekend of action. And we're going to go through all that with the two lads. But first up, I wanted to start the show with a bit of talk around Ladies' Championship. Of course, Maureen was out and about at the weekend too at one intermediate semi-finals. We're going to get a bit of feedback on that. But first of all, Mo, how are you this evening? We've got you on anyway. Did I get the mic on for you? Are we in the green there, Joe? Yeah, we're just struggling to hear Mo.
Oh, here we go. I'm here now. That was a glitch on my behalf.
Right. I thought this is going to be a long night, the way it's going.
I was just thinking, how do I get one of those buttons?
Oh, you want to mute me, John?
Easy tiger. You boys have come on a bit early, but you listen, you can sit and enjoy the show. Hey, you two boys are keen. I like it.
We're not here to listen to you. We're here to listen to Mo. Hey.
Do you know what? John Gilday can nearly take over. John, listen, you'd probably be better at me in this presenting the stuff. Why don't you just get up the station here? I'll swap places.
Sure. They're smiling tonight, I know,
yeah,
I'll tell you that.
But lads, listen, you're welcome in. It feels like a wee chat room we're in.
Happiness, it's relief.
It feels like a wee chat room here. We're all in now. But Mo, listen, as I say from the top, Mo, you want to tell us a wee bit about a big Masters competition that's coming on as well? I can't believe that we're talking Masters, you know, with someone with that young complexion of yours here. But listen, we are in the Masters territory as well. But first of all, Mo, of course, honours given out at the weekend, intermediate champs, final, of course, the big two meeting off in the senior final again. It was a busy weekend in the LGFA.
Yeah, it was. And look, we're getting to crunch time as well, the same as the men's. And, you know, we're down to nearly final stage time at the stage. The semi-finals of the senior championship were yesterday. Tierman played St. Noel's. Of course, obviously Tierman and Glenfinn and Mobil are still the favourites in the competition. So Tierman ran out winners over St. Noel's, 1-8 to 5 points. Not by a landslide, as you would imagine. So it's good to see those other teams coming up. Mobil and Glenfinn, I suppose, was the real crunch match. Obviously, one of the top three had to take, knock one another out. Mobil ended up getting Glenfinn. I looked at the halftime score and there were 3 points up Mobil. But Glenfinn are very strong this year. They're 50 years a club, I think, up there. So they're looking to try and get as many cups as they can and celebrate. As you well know, it's a great time for them up there, and you're celebrating 50 years is a big one. So, look, they ran out comfortable winners yesterday evening. 8 points. Yesterday morning, I should say, because all the games were played in the morning. 8 points. 1-7 to 2-12 it ended up. So that's them all out. And then, of course, you have the usual candidates in the final, which will probably be run off now, likely the 5th, maybe of October, I'd say. So it'll be Tierman and Glenfinn again.
The big two, Mo, as ever. Was there ever much of a doubt, did you think, in that there? Or is that the best two sides, you think, and worthy of the showpiece?
Look, every year you've got a new team coming up. Brendan, like last year, Dunlow come up, and they competed really, really well this year. They were probably unfortunate to miss out in the semi-final position. So Niamh Connell been up for a few years. Now you can add Fannett into the mix, and every year, so there's 10 teams up now. So it is getting more competitive. And look, as you well know, it's like a cycle, it's like a circle. It goes round, and Eru and St. Junans were once the top teams in Donegal in terms of ladies. And, you know, it was Tierman, now Glenfinn and Mobil, maybe for the last 10, 12, even up to 15 years. So look, it'll not always be the case. Tierman are losing a lot of big players. I see probably Karen, Yvonne, and Kitty will probably retire after this year for Glenfinn. Niamh Higgerty's very close to maybe her end as well, like in terms of, you know, her football. So she'll probably, they'll be all hanging up their boots, top players for the county for years. And look, they'll be new and fantastic players coming through. And that's the way football goes. And Dunlow, I've talked about Dunlow, they're an up and coming team. A lot of their team is made up with minor players. So they're going to be a very strong outfit in a few years' time. So, you know, the top teams will go down eventually and there'll be new winners at the top.
Yeah, and well, just with Impact, obviously Dunlow made. What about Fanna? They go in to play the winners of Down and Cavan and in Ulster. Late goal in their game really clinched it for them in the final at the weekend. And of course, it was a lady named Claire Freel. Not surprising, the Freel name there associated, of course, with Fanna. And her goal was the major score. What about them getting into Ulster more and again coming up into senior?
Yeah, well, look, Donegal teams compete really well in Ulster. You can look back at the history books, like with the likes of Terman, Mabul, Glenfinn, all been in Ulster. And like, look at how far Downings went last year with the junior competition. They went into Ulster, won it, and they went on to win to beating finalists in the junior, you know. So look, Fanna have a good chance in Ulster, like anybody else going on there. And they've been knocking on the intermediate doors now for a while. So, you know, that one, I suppose, and it just shows their resilience, you know, as you say, that late goal. They're definitely a determined side and they have been working together. And Claire's a very good player for them. Like, you know, she's an inspirational player for them. She's the Donegal keeper as well. So it's just fantastic seeing. I wish them all the best now in Ulster. Ulster's competitive, Brendan. You know, when you step outside your county, it's very competitive. You're up against the cream of the crop from every other county there. So, you know, it is going to be competitive. It is going to be tough, but look, hopefully they can make an impact.
Definitely more. And the Masters tournament you mentioned there, I know my sister Maria's been on about where she gets the time to do these things. I don't know, people talk about me being busy, but I don't know why Maria gets the time for all these things. But she was just telling me that there's a big competition coming up. You're involved yourself, of course.
It beats me where Maria gets the time. I swear to God, sometimes I'm like, would you just take a rest and take a break there? But it's like you say, I can't believe we're talking Masters. Never did I think when I was playing in my early days, should I say, that I would ever be thinking about playing Masters. And look, yeah, Maria has plagued me about the Masters from the beginning. I told her no, I didn't want to be involved, really, to be honest. I wanted to just play a wee bit of junior football. At that time, I wasn't playing any football. And then she rang me a couple of weeks after that and she says, well, how do you feel about it now? And I says, I think I still feel the same, Maria. But she's like a dog with a bone, you know. But look, at the end, you know, when you're in there, when you're in the throes, I went to my first training session there at the weekend, and it's the first ever Gaelic Masters Inter-Pro Series. So it's really historic, I suppose, in terms of ladies football. So anybody, you know, that will be involved in the weekend, which is on the 11th of October, so the all four come together and play, you know, up to 3 to 4 matches. So it's look, it's brilliant. And yeah, actually, you're playing along with some of the girls that were really your big rivals throughout your playing career. So, you know, I'm glad now that in a way that I am a part of it, and hopefully the old legs will hold up. But I really want to give a big shout out to our sponsor, Fergal Duffy. He sponsored a lot of the kits and the jerseys and stuff, and lovely jerseys they are as well. So, you know, Fergal Duffy's electrical and mechanical engineering. And look, very generous. We wouldn't be able to wear our Ulster colours without him. So thanks very much. We really, really appreciate it. And hopefully now we can go out in the weekend and, you know, be competitive and see how we get on and maybe get through the weekend without any injury difficulties.
Yeah, good man, Fergal. Always nice to get a bit of gear, Mo. The gear runs out pretty quickly. You do need to get it upgraded, don't you? There's a time in your life where everybody's taking your gear and it's going here and everything, it just stops.
Well, listen, you know what? Some of the gear that I had maybe would have been out of fashion back in the day, but it's come back into fashion now.
There you go. There you go. And listen, Mo, you were out and about the weekend as well, and I know Oni's on there. And listen, it was a high score and very entertaining semi-final. You were covering for the streaming, and I like that about the streaming, that it's not just doing senior championship, but 3:15 Mallon, second final in 3 years to 21 Niamh Wurra. Mo, what did you make of the action there?
You know what? I was sort of skeptical because I've been following the senior championship, Brendan. And look, I guess it's a good way of putting your skepticism on bay. But I really enjoyed the game. I thought it was a brilliant game of football. You know, and I probably would have said that, no, intermediate football. But hey, listen, it's so competitive, and that's why they say it's so hard to get out of intermediate, because there's just high stakes, and like the game was end to end stuff. I have to say, and probably Niamh Horan went into that game for favourites, you could probably say, but Mallon really, really put it up to them. You know, in the second half against the one, Mallon scored 1-8, and I know Niamh Horan scored 15 points, and you know, Owen Martin was brilliant. He scored 3 2-pointers. I think he came away with 10 points in total, but still not enough. And I know there was that controversial penalty decision, maybe that either or, but you know, I thought referee Anthony Finn, I thought he had a good game throughout the whole thing. And look, the umpires never budged on the whole decision. So, and I know some of the need were, and like, look, there was 3 points of difference at that stage. So I would have made a real cracker of an ending for them. But I just felt like maybe Niamh will look back and they lost probably a lot of their kickouts in possession, and then Mallon were so quick to turn over and they were so fast and attack up the field, and their attacks were probably more clinical in the end. Niamh will say that they, you know, probably missed out in 2 goal opportunities as well early on the match. And look, they are very lively in front of goal. Really impressed by some of their passages of play as well. But look, I just feel they probably will come away saying that they weren't clinical enough when they had the one at their back.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, only you.
You'll agree with me or not?
Aye, well, listen, only you're in there. We may bring you in. Listen, only I know, and it's tough, and fair play to coming on this evening, because I know what you put into the season and the year, and particularly when you look at the scoreline straight away, it jumps out at you. It's obvious that not getting a goal and conceding three was the killers in there, only.
Yeah, to me that was the big one. All right, the 3 goals was the big one. Probably three goals that we feel we could have, you know, could have avoided them, to be honest, you know, and that. But look, we battled away. I just felt as well we came back to within a point of them a couple of times. We could never get level. We could never get maybe ahead of them, you know, to really put the squeeze on them, and. We'll just take it on the chin. We, you know, to be honest, probably Mallon deserved it. And the penalty shout at the end, I seen a wee video the following morning. And to be honest now, it would have been harsh if it was given against Mallon, to be honest, that. And look, as I say, we lick our wounds. Mallon, they got beaten in the semi-final stage last year, same as ourselves. They got beaten in the final 2 years ago to Downing. So they're knocking on the door a long time, and look, they'll be a handful in the final, and good luck to them.
Yeah, good man. Only listen to playing, of course, Niamh Columba. We'll talk a wee bit about that later, but we're going to start after the break. We're going to talk about the senior championships. For now, Mo, I'll let you go. You get back out there doing your kickouts or scoring or press ups or set ups, whatever you're doing for this Masters. I'll let you get back to it.
Thanks, Brendan. Thanks, guys.
There's a protein shake waiting for you in the background there. Good on you, Mo. Good on you. Right. I'll be back with Jungle Day and Ony McGarvey after this. Thank you. The time is 7:24. We take up the senior championship here with John and Ony, lads. We'll get straight into the action, and we'll start at the start. Sean McCool's and St. Michael's. John Gilday, this St. Michael's team, talk about getting a false read from the opening day defeat to McCool's themselves. When that happens, John, I don't know why, you thought straight away maybe they're not going to improve in last year. Maybe they won't go on the same run. They've certainly proved a lot of the doubters wrong. And again, from what was a hard game to call, they really took St. Michael's apart, or really took McCool's apart.
Yeah, and I suppose hindsight's great, but you know, I felt that they were always going to be too strong. McCool's have been kind of maybe lost their way a little bit this year. I know Oisin Gallen's been in and out, and he's been a big component for them, but they just never really caught. They seem to have struggled their whole way through the championship, and St. Michael's have been building the whole way through. They've, you know, a couple of good scoring forwards. They're not afraid to take on their 2-pointers. Bing Langan's going well. I think he scored 8 at the weekend, you know, 4 2-pointers, which is a big contribution. And you know what really set them up for me was they went up to Niamh Connell the week before last, and ultimately did a really good job, and Niamh Connell beat them well. Now I know Niamh Connell were missing a couple, But it's not an easy place to go, as you can well imagine, Bren. Even no matter how strong or weak the team might be, and they really laid down a marker there, and then they come out and had a real, drive in them to put this game away early and did everything absolutely right. So I always felt that St. Michael's felt they left the final behind them last year. I thought, they felt that they should have been in the final. They just didn't perform on the day. And I think that that's really driving them on, and they're a serious outfit right now. They're going to take some beating, and they're not easy for anybody. And that's, it's going to be a titanic struggle with Gidor, who are going really well as well. But no, well-deserved win, maybe more comfortable than everybody thought. But they're right in the mix right now, as is every one of the three teams that are left, and then Niamh Connell as well, which and any other year would be outright favourites at this point. But they've
Well, he
kind
started already, Yoni. He's putting down Niamh Connell chances. Wait, it didn't take him long.
Morning,
You asked him a question.
Nicely again.
You asked him a question about Michaels and because, and he ends up chatting with Niamh Connell. Listen, we will get to him, John, don't you worry. And listen, you're doing cool calm and all yesterday. Fair play to you. Oni, listen, John mentioned it there. He actually, who's that? That's my fault, though. That's a good man, Joe.
Professional as ever.
That's the first time that's happened. Whoever that is now is in trouble. Because, hey, whoever it isn't listening to DL Debate. I'm not happy about that. But, Oni, John mentioned it there, Gallen, missing Gallen in the form of Langan, and he actually got 10 points as a form of point score. I don't like to lose any, but yeah, he did hit them 2-pointers, John. He ended up with 10 these total. Is that too easy to summarise to say McCool's without Gallen is the same as Langan's input into that game, Oni?
Look, he is a big player for them in fairness. We seen him that night they played Ardra. I think he scored 1-8 himself, but the way he was taking two or three Ardra men to him and then throwing it off to Kevin McCormick, who was also missing the last day, and to Conor McGinty. So in fairness, like, he is a big player for McCool's. But the likes of St. Michael's the last day, they scored I think 25 or 26 points, and that's without Daniel McLaughlin, who's been a big point scorer for them this year. But, and we're all talking about Michael Langan, but Colin McFadden is a handful for them. Carlos O'Reilly can fairly chip in with scores. Max Roty can chip in with scores. And, John said it, hey, they've been seriously impressive. And I just get the feeling that the semi-final defeat last year to Dunlow is thriving them on. You do get the feeling that they felt, they could have won that game and been in a county final. And, this Sunday now at 4 o'clock, John mentioned it, a titanic toss of the head would be poor. But in fairness, they're probably the form team with the scores that they're putting up. I think it was they had Glenfinn for 126 or something like this. 26 points the last day. It's 218 against New Connell and Glenties. That's a serious bit of scoring, like, in fairness.
Yeah, and John, is that the danger that is with this St. Michael's team now? And we're on about it. Obviously, the new rules, certain teams will benefit and be better at handling the new rules. And as only saying there, if you've got a spread of scores, like you mentioned, then that's going to make you very dangerous. If you can, I've seen something similar with the likes of Four Masters there. When they break, there's so many players can score, it's a big thing. It's a big feature going across. 11 different scores for Masters, and we'll get to their game in a minute. And that's the difference, because everyone's sitting in some kind of a zonal defensive shape. Now, for Masters, I think, would be a bit different. They actually go after the ball, but when they get it, they've got so much danger. And, when you're hitting up as those kind of them tally zonies talking about there, and particularly 26 at the weekend again, you're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Oni said, they have the forwards that all can score. They have a range of forwards throughout the team, even coming in from the half back line. And ultimately, with the new rules, it favours teams that are going to be bold and brave, move the ball fast, and go for it. And 2-pointers are huge scores right now. And if you look at, Four Masters, and we'll talk about them, as you rightly pointed out, same idea. When they go after, they go, and they break at pace and they move the ball quickly. They're not afraid to have a go. And it's ultimately the game now favours teams who are brave, and it also favours teams that have people of the ability of Langan and these guys that can kick the ball from 35, 40 yards over the bar on a consistent basis. What that does then in turn is it opens up an entire defence and it allows you then inside to get goal chances. And they've been very clinical as we're getting goals as well as long range scores. So both those sides have been very impressive. They're putting up big scores, and big scores won games now. The old defensive system where you can sit in and hope for the best and grind out results just doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, and only would you put anything into the fact that that obviously St. Michael's had the week off, you know, and I don't know how bad Gallen's injury was, but would that affected maybe the way they pulled away in that? Do you think innings put down to that? I know no one from McCool's would say that, but do you think that week off, maybe the week's rest helped St. Michael's?
I definitely would. I think it's a wee bit of a pity that the games are so rushed. You know, I still feel that there's enough, you know, weeks in it to maybe have a gap between them fixtures.
Yeah.
And that it's very hard to play a prelim quarter final, a quarter final, and then a semi final now this weekend. You know, in 3 weeks in a row, if you're lucky enough to win them three games, you are going to get lads injured in that. And it definitely would have been a help for St. Michael's. And just on John's point there, you know, even for four masters and even for teams, you know, the likes of if you have good forwards now and if you break, I find, you know, we would have been talking maybe about four masters and maybe they're young and they wouldn't be up for the physicality and that. I kind of find now that the midfield battle is the physical battle, but if you won possession in there and if you get out, it's once you get out then and get up to the 45, it's 11 v 11, and it's not as easy to get stuck into a player anymore. You know, if he throws you a sidestep and gets past you know, that player is more or less gone. You know, if there was 14 men back inside the 45 like the old days, you know, them players that we're mentioning for them teams wouldn't be thriving as much as they are, because once you beat a player, there was somebody else on top of you. And I just find that them players now, they're putting up big scores purely because, like, as I say, 11 v 11 inside the 45 is a big difference than 14 v 14, which, let's be honest, that's what we were playing up until this year. And I just find, I even seen yesterday what for, you know, Kevin Muldoon throwing the sidestep, Shannon Carr, Turla Carr,
Yeah.
Michael Langan, all these good forwards now, they're once they won the ball, they might set up a slow attack, but you are in trouble if it's well set up, because if you spread it out and if you leave a good player on a 1v1, he is going to take that man on. And the way I see it now, 9 times out of 10, the ball's gone over the bar, they're taking it into the D, and it's just a tap over for their players.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Only after the match, we got a couple of words from St. Michael's Daniel McLaughlin.
Listen, what was the difference in the end? 26-15, 11.1.
Yeah.
Was it as comfortable as it sounds on the scoreboard for you down in the line?
Probably not, no. You're always looking for them kind of wee improvements throughout the game. Like, but look, we got off to a great start. Kicked a few nice scores, making a couple of nice two-pointers for us, and that gives that wee kind of gap at half-time. But I think Coos asked a few questions of us early on, first 10, 15 minutes, but then we kind of got ourselves back into shape again and seen it out.
Yeah. Do you feel that the break that you've had benefited you hugely coming into this game?
Yeah, look, you get a week off and you get the bodies right, and then you get to look at other teams. Like, and unfortunately, I suppose McCool's, they kind of lost Wee McCormick too here the last day with a hamstring, you know, and that's just playing that extra game, I suppose. So, just unfortunate from their point of view, we kind of benefited from that.
Yep. You seem to find the space at the right time in this game, and particularly in the opening 7 minutes, because you had seven scores on the board at that stage, and it seemed to be, to us anyway, very early on, that McCool's might get back into this, and that was sort of the foundation to the one.
Yeah, look, we played McCool's earlier in the year down in the bridge, and they got off to a big start against us. I think they were 11-0 up down in the bridge, like, and we just kind of focused on that first 10-15 minutes, try to get off to a quick start, not to let them get that kind of lead on us. So, look, we're very pleased getting 7-0 up, and we kind of seen it out then.
Yeah. But you're playing a lot better football now than what you did in the opening game, Daniel. You were very, very good there today. And as a unit, you played exceptionally well.
Yeah, look, everybody was excellent, even the boys coming off. Like, and just even having, I suppose, Michael in about the middle of the field, he kind of orchestrates things for us in there, you know. And everyone kind of feeds off that and feeds off his energy. And look, everyone to a man was good today.
Yep. And you were able to bring guys to the bench as well. Experienced boys were able to come off, which adds. So
yeah,
it does. And you need guys like that as the championship goes on, and now that we're at the business end of things.
Yeah, look, we bring on Antoine there and Martin and even Paddy O'Neill and Paddy Spears. You know, they're all kind of nice, experienced players, you know. And we've kind of competition for places. Even myself to come back now, maybe hopefully the semi. And there's plenty of competition there. You know, even Paul Johnson come in late there for us. Done really well for us.
What's the story, Hug?
Yeah, great stuff there. Well done, Dale. Back for the semi. He will be a dangerous man, yet only you mentioned him. Lads, looking at that game, and I was down at the Gidor Kilcare game, only something you were mentioning there. John, I'm just taking up the Gidor Kilcare game about sidestepping in that Kilcare. A bit like St. Michael started on fire. They had the breeze. They went 6-0 up, but by half time it was back to 7-6, John. And they were doing that thing, dropping the shoulder, going by people. As we know, Kilcare have a load of talent, but Gidor seemed to really tighten up in that zone. And I know what Owen was saying about the 1-1, but Gidor were very good at getting a 2-1 or a 3-1 if you go inside their scoring zone at all. It's probably one of the most impressive things about them, and another big victory for them down in your home patch, John.
Yeah, no, and to be honest, that they're very impressive in the way that they're coached and how they're able to, you know, build on that 2 and 3 and 1. They're willing to leave themselves exposed, maybe on a way out on a wing, and pull men across to shut down the danger man and then rotate across. Now, that takes a huge amount of coaching. It takes a huge amount of trust in the man beside you, and it takes a huge level of fitness to be able to do that for an entire game. And they were able to do that continuously. And Kilcare obviously have a lot of talent when the games opened up, but they have always struggled from a physicality point of view. You know, when they run into that 1 and 2 man and 3 man block, they find it very hard to punch through, maybe like unlike some of the other teams. And then the other thing is, when Gidor did turn ball over, they moved the ball very quickly. They're willing to use a kick pass to move the ball on and then put Kilcare under serious pressure. And I suppose the winning of the game really was in that first half, when with the breeze, you know, Kilcare looked like they were going to run away with it. Everything was clicking. And then Gidor had pulled it back at half time and really put themselves into a very comfortable position. And then they grew into the game. Their forwards hit form. They had scores from their half back line again. And, Gidor are a team that I know we've all got used to the Neil McGee's and the Eamon McGee's and the Kevin Casties and, you know, that golden team that, you know, won an Ulster title. But this new Gidor team, and I would say it's a new Gidor team, have a huge amount of pedigree when it comes to one and underage championships, both minor, under 21, etc. And that whole team is coming through. They know how to win. They're used to winning. There's an expectation that they're going to win. And they've really bought into what Manelis is doing down there right now. And they're a very, very impressive and competent unit at this point in time, both defensively and in attack.
Yeah. Only you're a coach yourself. You'd be impressed by the way they're set up, because trying to not allow that 1v1 is what every coach wants and every defence wants. And the Gidor are very good at just holding that space, playing a lot like Donegal, I suppose, in many ways. Yeah. As John was saying, then they've got the break. And, you know, just, I don't want to pick Ethan Harkin, obviously the 8 points. I think the role of him coming from deep suits him, because he's a long range kicker, and it probably takes a bit of heat off him inside. And some of his kicking was brilliant the last day. And again, you know, boys like Michael Rorty's as good as footballer in the county from what I've seen in the games that I've seen. And, you know, it was him had that brilliant 2-pointer after the Kilcare fight back. But only, you know, Kilcare dropped 4 short. They had 3 good goal chances and had 6 wides in that first half as well. So if you're looking at it from their perspective, were they saying they needed to have a good lead maybe at halftime?
Ah, there would have been. And, you know, them goal chances they missed in the first half, you know, they would have been good at that. You know, they should have been further ahead. But, you know, as yourself and John said there, you know, they were 6-0 up. But then I think it was just 7-6 then at halftime. Like, Gidor really grew into the game. And, you know, to be fair to Ronan McNeilis, you know, the move that he done to put Ethan Harkin out to the half back line has just worked wonders for him, because Ethan, in fairness, would be in corner forward and he'd be getting frustrated and there'd be men hanging off him and all that, and he just wasn't, you know, probably suited to being in there. But like, he's playing serious stuff for them in the championship. Like you say, he had 8 points. He's a serious strike in him. He's getting on ball. He's good on the ball. And, you know, as I say, it was a brilliant move by Ronan. The Micheál Rorty fella, in fairness, if you're chatting to Gidor people, they've been talking about Micheál Rorty this past couple of years. But just really this year, he's really come on. And I thought it was great to see him go for the 2-pointer the last day. Maybe, you know, and it going sailing over the bar. They were only a point up, and probably he was probably getting shouts to hold on to it and play, keep possession and that. And he drove on to it. And threw the boot on it and over the bar it went, and you know, he had the confidence to do it, and he'll definitely be picking up one of St Michael's, you know, better players this weekend, and he'll do a job on whoever he's on, because like I say, he's playing well. Donal McIlvree is playing well for them, which I'm glad to see. And then Coyle played well the last day, so they're coming along nicely. They're the only team in the championship who have won every game. You know what I mean? They were 4 out of 4 in the group stages. They won the last day, and if they keep that going, they'll win the championship.
Yeah, they'll be hard to beat. All right, surely. John, just a word on Matthew McLean. Of course, had a great first half as well, kicking a couple of brilliant 2-pointers for Kilcare. John, just about getting in and out of your pitch down in Glenties there. A lot of people were leaving towards the end of that match. Gidor were 5 up, I think, with, you know, minutes remaining. And then we had, as we often do in these games, we had to fight back. The McBurdy goal, you know, come right back. There was only a point in it in 64 minutes. I was saying in commentary, like, put the handbrake on there. Don't be leaving a game of football like that. But listen, there is that bottleneck. I know Braddis was telling me there's talk of buying a bit of land and having another road in and out. But I couldn't believe people were leaving the game. But maybe at 5 up, Gidor looked like they were cruising. But as we know, when you have players in the pitch, you know, likes of Paddy McBurdy, the game's never over.
No, and again, going back to the new rules, it's impossible to close a game down right now. And we've seen that in a couple of games over the weekend. With 11v11, there is space. There's always a likelihood, if you're going after a goal, that, you know, it's much easier to get one now than it was prior to this, like last year, the year before. The other thing is, the 2-point rule has completely revolutionised the game on a number of different fronts. So, for example, you know, you're 6 points down, 5-6 points down 2 years ago, last year, the game's over. People just shut the game down. Now that's only 2 kicks of the ball and you're back in the hunt again. And then the other thing that it's bringing into the game, and I've seen it happen a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, men going for 2-pointers and miss hitting it and not quite getting there is causing absolute consternation at the edge of the square, with goalkeepers flapping at balls and fullbacks not knowing how to catch the ball anymore, because for the last 10 years they didn't have to catch the ball. So the whole dynamic has changed to the point where 5-6 points now, you can't leave. Because it changes in a mistake in the blink of an eye, and then a 2-pointer, and the whole thing turns in the hand. And the other thing I've said about the 2-pointer is it's a huge momentum shifter. It's nearly graded with the same level of excitement as a goal, because it is a spectacular score. So just as I said, the new rules have really brought the game on. And you only have to look at this year's championship. Like, there's 5, 6, 7 teams could ultimately win the championship this year. There's been a kick of a ball in lots and lots of games. And the last 4, you would have to think that any one of them's capable of winning the championship on their day. And that's unusual, because normally this time of the year we're talking, you know, for 5 or 6 years we were talking about the big 4, and then we were talking about the big 2. And that's all been put in its head because St Michael's have come through. Obviously, Gidor have reinvented themselves with a whole new team and a whole new attitude, and are playing the game really well. And then obviously you have that very young, talented Four-Master side that's coming through as well. So it's been great for football in the county in general.
Yeah, it's been great, surely. And, you know, just look at Gary McFadden, Nicky's marking Paddy McBurdy, marking Gallen the previous, and you're looking at another stalwart. You mentioned actually Neil McGee from the Golden Era. He came on late in the game. It was brilliant to see him coming on the pitch, still doing his bit. One wee word only on the refereeing. Enda McFeely was reffing it. I said at one stage I thought he got the ball hit him, but he told me after it didn't hit him. I thought it should have been hopped up. But you know, when people like Enda are reffing, I think sometimes you forget to compliment them, because you're used to them just doing, you know, a good job. And sometimes you forget about that. You know, when I message him saying, because Enda's so good at officiating and he handles it so well, sometimes you forget to say well done to the ref, because that's the mark of a good ref, that you don't notice that he's doing his job the way he is.
Yeah, no, I agree. And funny, I was thinking about that today, and I was talking to a referee. He claims to be the longest serving referee in Donegal football. Huey McGarvey from Clonely.
Know him well.
He rings me every Monday or every second Monday anyway. But he claims that he says he knows you well too, Brendan.
Had a few evenings with him in the loft, all right, back in the day.
But I definitely think the standard of refereeing in Donegal has got better. You know, I do think we have we have good refs on Donegal now, to be honest. We would have been all given out about them, but I do think the standard has gone up, and I definitely think, you know, the solo and go has definitely helped them, because there's no, when there was a free given, that's when the messing kind of started with the two players or whatever. But with the solo and go now, the player's gone, you know what I mean? And you have to kind of chase after him again. And I think that has really helped the referees a lot, I think, in that. And I do think the referees are good. Even Maureen Moe mentioned Anthony Finn on Saturday in our game, and he done a good job. Daniel Carlin up in Ballyshannon yesterday, and other intermediate, Cal Boland done low and four masters, and they all done a good job. And as I say, I think they are doing it. The new rules, as I say, have definitely helped them. That solo and go, there's no messing with the ball or anything like that anymore. So, like I say, they're definitely, and Huey's still reffing as well.
Yeah. Oh, hey, he'll keep going. No better man. Hey, he'll keep him taking over. Keep him young. That was the Ginnor men through. Yeah, four masters, Dunlow. John, a few weeks back, a late two-pointer from Dunlow equalised, and they drew had a draw game, and very hard game we had to call, and it was close going into the last quarter, but then 10 points in a row, hard to believe, John. And in many ways, when a team's coming and getting better like this, is this a kind of warning sign of the potential that's in four masters, that they end up, you know, last year's finalists? I'm sure Dunlow were thinking they could go and maybe make it back to another final, but an unbelievable last quarter from Four Masters.
Yeah, no, listen, they're supremely talented. Like, everybody in the county has been waiting for this team to come of age, whether it be this year, next year, the year after. Like, we all know that they're coming. They have talent all over the park, Muldoon, the Cars, etc., etc. They're exceptionally talented going forward, in the sense that they can score for fun. And again, going back to the new rules, if a team does get a run on you right now, and they, you know, they turn a ball over, kick a two-pointer, won the next kick out, kick a two, the game changes completely. And then what happens is, you as a team that's chasing the game, you have to go after it, and then you're leaving yourself more open. And then that a team like Four Masters thrive on that, because they have pace all over the park. They're all exceptionally good ball handlers. They're all very comfortable on the ball. They move the ball very well. They again, from a coaching perspective, they know exactly what they want to do. Maybe a little bit of light in positions, but again, that's going to come with a level of maturity. But, you know, they're a very dangerous outfit. And I think, you know, the next 7-8 years, they're only going to get better year on year. Whether this is their year or not will remain to be seen, because it's wide open right now. But on the form and the display they showed against Dunlow in that last 20 minutes, you would fancy them against anybody. Like, they're coming for a shootout. There's no doubt about that. And they're very confident in doing that. And to be honest, you know, Dunlow had an exceptional year last year. Had gone through the championship unbeaten as well, along with Gador. So we're coming in good form. But again, you can't let it. When you know, men are hitting points, you know, with outside your foot on the wrong side and it's going over the bar, you just hold your hand up and you look at it and go, amazing talent. And it just wasn't to be Dunlow's day. And ultimately, maybe Dunlow just didn't have the firepower that Four Masters have. And I think that goes again back to our earlier part of our conversation, where firepower right now, with the amount of space that you have, is incredibly important, and Four Masters have it in abundance.
Yeah, they certainly do. Only that thing I mentioned earlier on the show, I mean, 11th of a score is unusual at club level, but versus 6 for Dunlow, and John's just made the point about it there. Is that the difference? If you have players all over the pitch, because, you know, 11 of your players is involved in, you know, coming up for the attack. Is that the difference in that you have that ability to hurt the team from all angles?
I think so, you know, because even the halfbacks that were coming up yesterday for Four Masters, you know, you had your Callum McRae and your Keelan Lockley, they got on the score sheet. Conor Reid was midfield, along with Patrick Reid, not three big men or whatever. But when, like, so sometimes what you can do, we were talking about it earlier, is what Guidor do. They might leave a man and double up and treble up. You know, they're taking a chance. You know, they might be watching teams and saying, you know, that fella's not going to shoot for them. You know, but you cannot do that with Four Masters, because so many of their players, as John was saying, are comfortable on the ball. You know, like, if you take their forward line, you have the two Cars, you have Conor McCall, you have Kevin Muldoon, you know, that's four out of the six. Alex McAlmont was there yesterday as well. Killian Faulkner came on as a sub for them. Richard O'Rourke kicked a point. I mentioned Conor Reid, McRae, and Locke. These are all players who are good players. So, like, when I seen them yesterday, like, it's very hard then. You're not going to leave Senan Kerr if you're marking him to double up on Turla Kerr, because Turla's going to throw it to Senan and he's going to stick it over the bar. So I just find that the new rules is helping them teams a lot. You know, when you have three or four very good forwards, and then when you have half-backs coming up who are comfortable on the ball, and who teams are saying, oh, let, you know, they're not saying, you know, let him have the ball, he won't shoot. They will shoot, they will take it on. And you could just see it yesterday. Now, the game ran away in Dunlow, just the way that John said it there. Four Masters went 11-10 up, and then Turla Kerr had a two-pointer, and then Senan Kerr had a two-pointer. So it went out to 15-10, you know, in two or three or four minutes, and Dunlow then done a breach, and that was another point. So just the game fizzled out. It wasn't a 10-point game, if you know what I mean, but it just shows you, as John was saying, the way the game can run away from you in that. But I just find with the firepower that they have, that what we were talking about earlier, there's nobody that you can leave on their team and say, oh, we'll leave him and double up on that. And I think that is going to be a huge advantage for them. And I think the other teams have it as well, to be honest. You know what I mean? And it's good to see. I think we're in line for two very good semi-finals, to be honest.
We certainly are. And making up the last one will be Niamh Connell. John, you know, Shane Malone's interview yesterday, I heard it. You know, he's on about the never say die attitude, and you text me after the game, John. I was down with an anniversary mass. I was out with the family, and you text me about, you know, I suppose that Niamh Connell spirit that she talked about. They were looking dead and buried, John, but somehow they pulled this game out of the fire.
Yeah, and you know what? I've been thinking about it today, and I still don't know how it happened. Like, I've never seen a more one-sided game for a team to lose, and I said it in commentary yesterday, I felt heartily sorry for Terman. They left everything on. They played an amazing brand of football. They moved the ball well. They hunted in packs. They pressed Niamh Connell, which nobody ever does because you're worried about getting caught. And they made it hell for them. And Niamh Connell's discipline went. They just, everything that you would ascribe to a Niamh Connell outfit just didn't exist, apart from 3 minutes before halftime and 3 minutes before the end. When, you know, I think it's very much like a punch-drunk boxer. There was a level of muscle memory in the sense that if you've been as successful as that team has over the years and you're hanging in there, nearly out of spite, you can figure out a way to win a game. And genuinely yesterday, they figured out to win a game that they had nowhere to be in, let alone won it. Because, you know, going into halftime, Terman were 9 points up and probably left another 8 or 9 points behind them from free kicks and a couple of goal chances. And then all of a sudden there was five in it. So you're going into the dressing room 5 points up, and I would imagine you're probably disappointed. And, you know, and they've stormed back into it a little bit, and then Terman reacted again, pushed it out, and really the game was gone. It was over. With 6 minutes to go, there was 5 or 6 points in it. I couldn't see any other winner in it. And then Shane Malone kicked a big two-pointer, brought them back into the game. And then the younger fillers, along with Anthony Thompson, just refused to lie down. Max Campbell got his goal. Fimber Rorty kept driving, got his score. And really it was, you know, the great escape, because Terman did everything right. And they will be wondering how they didn't come out of that game with a victory, because everybody else on the ground left wondering how Niamh Connell came out with a victory.
Yes, indeed. Sorry, we were in mic trouble there. John, just amazing. Very tough on Terman, of course. And listen, but that's football. That's a game of football. You know, we're looking at it. And John, you mentioned it earlier, and we're talking about it, lads. No game is ever over to the end. And when you have players on the pitch, like you're saying there, Max Campbell, and of course, Shane Malone, and Finn Barrorty, they didn't even get the extra time. So tough finish for Terman. That would have been the story of the season if they had beat Niamh Connell, but it wasn't to be. We're going to take a quick break, and myself and only going to talk a wee bit intermediate after and wrap up any other club matches from the weekend. But for now, John, thanks very much for joining us, and good luck in the semi-final.
My pleasure. I think I'm dusting the boots off. I might make a comeback here.
You never know.
Maybe I'll go and play for the girls at the weekend in the Masters.
There you go. Get your wee wig. Good man, John. Thanks very much.
Later.
Speak to you.
See you,
cheers, man.
Yeah.
Yes, folks, welcome back. Time is the enemy as ever. We're just in the last minute now for the show. Eric and the Gaels, Niamh Breed are in the junior semi-final at St Mary's Convoy in Carndonagh. Carndonagh, last year's finalist. Four teams all going really well. Only just a word on the other semi-final. Red Hughes coming up short against Niamh Columba. Niamh Columba having a brilliant season. That's going to be a great final. And themselves and Malin coming through on a scoreline of 218 to 310.
Yeah, like you said, Glenn are having a great championship. That's 6 out of 6 for them now. So they'll be hoping now to make it 7 out of 7 and to win the championship. They were good yesterday, and fairness to them, you know, to score 218 now. And fairness to Red Hughes, they never lay down. You would expect them to either, but they got 3 goals in the second half. Johnny Carlin got one for them. They got a penalty, and Stephen McMenamin rattled the top corner for them as well. They always kept coming back, but Glenn were able to keep them just keep that 3, 4, 5 point lead. You know, Aaron Doherty was good for them. Shane Callaghan, Philip Doherty got a goal in that. And look, Brendan, it'll be a good intermediate final. There'll be huge support. Both teams will take huge support for them. In fairness, Malin had a great crowd with them in Termon. Glenn will travel. You know, as I said earlier, Malin, these two teams met in the semi-final last year, Brendan, and Glenn came out at the top by 3 points. You know, but we know Glenn lost a couple of finals this past few years. Malin lost the final 2 years ago. So, you know, looking at it, you're probably looking at the two teams who have been knocking on the door this couple of years. You know what I mean? This good few years, and one of them will get over the line. And like I say, I think it'll be a really, really good final, and it'll be a good occasion, and hopefully it'll probably be at the Kenny in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, only brilliant stuff. Listen, as ever, thanks so much for the roundup. And of course, John Gaudet and Mo, thanks Joe Dex here for producing. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions. They're coming up shortly. I'll speak to you all next week.